You're going to hear a lot of music, ladies and gentlemen, because we've got an absolutely full studio. One of my old, when was it? About a month ago, I'm walking out of the Prudential Building. I see an old friend with this little cute little boy, and I go, "Hey, Carla, what's new?" And you tell me, "Well, Rick, we just got back from this world tour."
Well, it was a cute little girl.
Oh, it was? Okay. Well,
we were going ice skating, remember?
Yeah. It was cold.
But, you said, "Hey, David Fink just got off of this really cool thing. I just saw it on Facebook, and it was amazing." And I said, "Yeah, we were with him."
It was a world tour. David Fink is also here, and some wonderful musicians, one of whom just has flown in. Just got in from Tahiti, of all places, and it's not. But the great thing is, the thing I absolutely adore about you, Larissa, right now, is she just got back from Tahiti and she's fascinated with the views of this place. It's like it must be some kind of horrible culture shock. What was this tour, Carla Bazile?
Well, it was a peace tour with a bunch of artists who are curious about travel.
Yeah.
And about connecting with people around the globe. And just a kind of an experiment, actually, in some ways, you know, to try to, can we go around the planet, basically, in 40 days and connect with people and play our music, but also maybe make some long-lasting connections.
See, music, I've often thought, David, get in with this, whatever you want, that music is a language of its in and of itself.
It is, and on the tour, there are a number of times where people didn't share a common verbal language, but would share dance steps and share different sounds, different instruments, and there's a great beauty in that. It was a great way to communicate.
David Fink runs and founded the Acorn Theater, the greatest theater in the country, in Three Oaks, Michigan. How did you get involved? I know you became the world's greatest road manager on this world tour. How did you get involved, David?
Well, I've worked with all these performers a number of times through the years through the Acorn. So I have, you know, relationships, long-standing relationships. And Carlo invited me, and I believe in saying yes to opportunities when possible. So.
What intrigued you about the tour?
Well, the message.
Because you're not a musician. You're not a part of the tour in a performance level.
No.
But what intrigued you about this?
Well, the mission really intrigued me. I love the group. I love what they do. And the concept of people of different cultures collaborating musically and creating sounds that are combinations of instruments from different cultures and creating something that sounds like it has always been together. And there are times on the tour where people joined us in different countries and the same song would sound very different depending who the collaborators were. And the intercultural collaboration really intrigues me and I think it's beautiful.
Sarah, introduce yourself to this vast radio audience, would you please?
Yes, I will. Good evening, everyone, and happy Easter.
That's right, I forgot that.
We're so happy to be here in Rick Hogan's studio with a wonderful view.
It is really something. I'll tell you, it is something.
So I'm Saraswati Ranganathan. I founded the Surabhi Ensemble about a decade ago. Veena artist.
And you've been, and David carried the Veena most of the time, right?
Yes.
This is what he's claiming, right? He's claiming this. When did you start the ensemble?
About a decade ago, like 2012, around that time.
And we have met before. You've been on a various incarnation of this show, and you and Carlo have collaborated.
Yeah, we've been collaborating for more than 10, 12 years now.
And Ronnie Malley is also in here. You're going to hear them play later in the show. Explain to me, Ronnie, Carlo, Sarah, David, what was the seed of that? Were you sitting around one day and said, "Hey, let's go ask for some grants and hit the road"?
I'll start because this is Ronnie. I had received word that the DCAES, the Department of Cultural Affairs,
yeah, sure,
and Special Events, was offering this new grant, which was kind of like the rehashed CAP grant they used to offer, but they call it the IAP grant, which is the Independent Artist Performers grant. And but they only allowed you to do one. And there was one year that I wanted to do two.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was for another tour with another group. And the other was, Carlo and I and Sara had been talking about recording an album. I have a recording studio as well. And I said, well, I'm only allowed to write one of these. I said, so I'll help both these people write them. I said, Carlo, you're going to this info session. You're going to sit down and get all the information you need. And we're going to write this grant to record the album.
Wow.
And so we did. He went in and we got together, wrote this grant, and we recorded the album at my studio. I think that was like the seed.
Sure.
Part of it was also we thought, let's put together like a nice CD release party of sorts. And without mentioning names of other venues, it's funny how when you live in a town like Chicago, you have the respect that you get as an artist. But it's funny because they look at you as a local that you're not going to get that same respect you do somewhere else.
Yeah, isn't that funny? It's a kind of provincialism that exists here that I'm glad you bring this up because it's always kind of astonished me. They don't get it. Or they claim you, well, you're our own. This isn't going to work someplace else. Do you feel that way, Carla?
No.
The second part, you mean?
Yeah, right. No, it does work someplace else. And
sure.
It turns out for us, it works better in some ways. But you're up against that. And then after the album came out, we were like, well, let's do something with the album, you know. And so we used that as the foundation to do this tour and to apply for more grant money. And that worked out. And we were able to go to Vietnam, go to Spain, go to Portugal, go to Senegal, all in 40 days with the help of Arvina Valet, with the help of Larissa over here documenting everything. And
how does one go about selecting the places? I know you both of your bands have connections, and you both played around the world. And do you sit there and sit down at dinner one night and say, you know, Senegal might be fun. We know somebody in Spain. Well, we know somebody here.
Exactly. That's
okay.
That's exactly it. And also, you know, all this wonderful, crazy technology that we have, which is great and crazy at the same time. We know this from everything that's going on in the world right now. So I try to take the best of it. And was able to use a few applications to talk directly to Vietnam, to talk directly to Spain, to talk directly to Portugal and Senegal on a daily basis.
Oh.
So basically, I was in touch with our connections over there, people that I've met before and collaborated with, musicians. And we just started piecing this thing together. And it seemed crazy, but yet... With all of this technology, even when we got on the ground, I was able to use my data on my phone to connect with, you know, in Vietnam, in Hanoi. Do we have the right address? It's in Vietnamese. I don't know. Let's see.
Oh, this sounds fabulous.
So the whole thing was like us on motorbikes, you know, and David. With the Vina on a motorbike, you know, trying to get to the next gig that we had six gigs in 3 days over there.
Wow.
So it was kind of a magical mystery tour, but something really happened while we were there, and we can talk more about that. I'm sure Sara has her take, and Ronnie has her take, his take. But basically, I asked everybody last week or 2 weeks. I'm starting to think of new ideas for a new project to describe what they were feeling on the road.
Sure,
and I got some great responses from everybody in the group. How this made them feel, connecting with immigrants, connecting with refugees, connecting with other artists. I mean, we did it all on this tour. We even went to a circus. We'll talk more about that.
I can't wait. We got to take a little break, but these fine people will be here all the way for the whole hour until 10 o'clock, and you're going to hear some music, and you're going to hear what this trip was like, because it certainly sounds life-altering. Chicago Blues, done with David Fink's road managing skills. Now, I want you each, Carla, sort of set up the tour, how it came to be and what it was like, and I'm sure each one of you has dozens of seminal experiences of the road. Sara, why don't you talk first about how you founded your ensemble.
Sure. So from my personal experiences, I wanted to get to the... I want to address one of the root causes of addressing conflicts at a community level and as well as a societal level. So what I was trying to do was get people from different genres together on stage. So mm-hmm. this would be like a motivating factor to attract audience from a cross-cultural background. So get sort of people from different backgrounds together. And I also feel like we're very lucky to be artists in that we get to share our creative energy with a large section of people at once instead of just one-on-one. So why not utilize that precious moment to convey something impactful, something positive? So I feel like if I'm able to create, if we as a group are able to create awareness about these differences that we have, so there is more awareness from the audience perspective of what's different. And then, so over a period of time, let's say this is sort of a non-acceptance at ground level, and over a period of time, as you continue to do the raising awareness, hopefully, you know, goes up to at least a shade of neutral, and hopefully long term it goes to a state
of
acceptance.
State of acceptance.
So if we are able to use our precious sharing time with the audience to convey something that's positive, impactful, so hopefully there is less hate and less.
Well, you probably saw dozens, if not hundreds, of examples of that when you were on this tour.
Yeah, actually, there is a subtle paradigm shift in how people view something that's different from
them. Yeah, absolutely.
So, towards the better.
Ronnie, give me an example.
Well, you know, we went on this tour not necessarily as what some might view as the standard tour, like you're going to be playing the Budokan and then all
right,
of a sudden you're going
library,
to this, you know, huge venue and you're on the road and throwing television sets out the hotel window or anything like that. the majority of what we did, I think, was we had an idea, and this is, Carlo's modest about this, but really a large part of the connections we had were from Carlo's friends.
Right.
And coming full circle, though, most of those friends he met in Chicago. So that, the huge Chicago connection, really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it came to putting the tour together, we're like, my friend is here, but can we do an educational thing here? And there's this other place, there's this refugee organization, maybe we can work with them. Then there's, and in between, we did a lecture at the University of Cordoba, which was probably one of the highlights for me in, of going back to the where my instrument kind of made it, right? And but for me, the one thing that really stood out was our last venture into Portugal. And we were there with a great friend of Carlo, who became all of our friends, Catarina. And she works with a conservatory there, as well as another organization. And there was a refugee organization that we went. We actually worked with two refugee organizations there. One
That's
was in Odemira, Portugal, and the other was in Lisbon, Portugal. And when we got to Lisbon, this organization was housing refugees, a majority of them from Syria. And they came to the show that we kind of had for them, really. And they brought some of the food, and some of the families came. And while we're playing, one gentleman came up to me. He's like, you know, he was there with his daughter, son, wife, and himself. And he said, you know, I play a little bit of oud as well, my instrument. I said, here, play, you know, let's hear you play. And he started, he starts singing, then his daughter starts singing, then his wife starts singing, then his son. And before long, we've got a circle of him and some of the friends there. Because Sarah had an idea. She's like, you know, let's dedicate a medley. Can you sing some Syrian songs to them during the set? And so I did. And that really just kicked things off. It's amazing how a song just moved the entire mood, you know?
Well, one of the things, it sounds like one of the great aspects of this tour was a certain spontaneity of it, too. True, Carla?
It's true, and I think that it's a function of our ages, that we've been in all these crazy circumstances before, and so I think all of us were pretty calm, wouldn't you say, David?
Oh, yeah.
And in terms of that spontaneity, David's got a story that happened at a circus in Malaga. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, one of our gigs was in a circus tent, and it was crazy, and the music that we performed fit well with some of the circus acts.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Great and fun. And at the end of the show, it was really literally in a tent. The power went out, but we have amps that have a battery backup. So the music was still playing, but there was no light. So the audience, everyone took out their cell phones and turned on the flashlight. And we finished the show to flashlight, cell phone flashlight light. And it was just so beautiful and collaborative and cooperative. We just shared that moment, and I don't think anyone that was there will forget that.
Sarah, what about for you? I know it's like choosing your favorite child from a million. That was the circus one?
That was one of the moments.
Malaga's a great town. I lived in Malaga for a while, near Malaga, many, many years ago when I was very, 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 very young, like meaning 18, and fell in love with that country.
Yeah.
We got to take a commercial break, get some news, and then we'll carry on and hear some music and talk about what is going to happen with this movie that's being shot. This is what I'm curious about.
The whole trip. You got to talk to Larissa.
I know, but Larissa documented the entire adventure. Yes.
Yes, she did.
She's the one.
Yeah.
We'll talk about our friend Rick Bayless, who joined us too after the break.
Why not? Why not? I am so glad to meet you and you and to see you and you and you. Okay, Carla Bissell, what is this? What are we listening to? Huh? Well, you can say that. You looked at me. Carla just looked at me and said, well, I didn't write that. That has nothing to do with me. All I did was ask, what is this? I have four of the nicest people in here who have been that are touring the world, spreading their music, but also spreading, I think, peace and understanding, too. I don't want to make too much of this. But when you're in Hanoi, when you're in Spain, when you're in Senegal, do you find that people are curious about not just the music and about you as individuals, but about Chicago at all?
Oh, yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, but about the U.S. in general.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more about U.S., and politics. People around the world are a lot of people are very in tune to U.S. politics. And so you could have a lot of higher level political discussions outside the United States than you're used to having even at home. I found that interesting.
Yes, based on the local perspective, too. Like, I had an interesting conversation with our friends in Hanoi. For them, anybody who's tough on China, they're really happy about, because China dominates that region so much.
Sure.
So, like, you know, when we were getting into conversations about how we might feel about the current regime or whatever, they didn't have the same take on it, because they just want somebody who's going to be tough on their bully neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So it was kind of interesting, because you're like, man, your perspective is...
The enemy of my enemy.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You also said, Rick Bayless, the famous restaurateur of Chicago, met you and gave you like a restaurant tour of Hanoi. That must have been.
Well, we kind of gave him a restaurant
tour. Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. What does he know about Hanoi?
Anyway, Rick and Deanne are amazing, and they support the arts.
No kidding.
They have supported our work in the past, and Rick said he was going to be over there in Vietnam. And I said, well, come to Hanoi, because I have some people down on the street who will take you around. And literally, that's what we did. We took him on a street tour of the food. And Larissa made a great little documentary of that whole thing. We should be able to post that sometime. But it was pretty awesome. And so Rick was there. He had a great time. And it was great to have them. They came to, what, two or three of our performances
while they
were there. They really supported what we were doing, and they got it. Like, you know, they understood when we were at a school. We did this pagoda in the middle of a lake, and they were out there. Rick shot a video of that and posted it. So we've had a really nice relationship with them, and they have totally supported our work and the work of other artists.
One of the things, I know you guys aren't the Rolling Stones, and you're not throwing, or the Who, and not throwing things out of hotel windows. But there can be something really exhausting about the road. And it seems to me, I mean, you're back now, you're energized. Were there moments when you said, David, get me another hot towel. I can't move. Stuff like that. I mean, it seems as if you went from place to place, and if you were tired in one place or from the traveling, there was immediately something to energize you in the new place. Am I...
Yeah, there were some moments, and I know Sarah had a moment in Africa, and Ronnie had a moment in Cordoba, and I had a couple of moments, too. All of us, I think, were like, well, we're going to put our best self forward, but every once in a while, it was just like, hey, man, got to let off a little steam, would you say?
I would say so.
But in a good way. I mean, it wasn't like anybody was, nothing got way out of hand. I just think that sometimes you get a little cranky when you're jet-lagged because you've been in five different time zones, you know. And
when you're eating different foods and you're performing, and it's exhausting in a way, physically, emotionally, and creatively.
I got really sick at one point and got better.
Who helped you, though? You're the road manager.
Got better. You know?
You're the glue.
Not a choice.
You're the glue that held this whole thing together.
Went to sleep at like 7 o'clock, slept through.
We were his cheerleaders. Yeah.
Did you get stronger carrying the Vina?
Oh, yeah. Can't you tell?
I
should take my shirt off. You'll see.
This must have. I mean, how many people were with you at? I know people came in and out.
We were rolling like 14 deep.
Wow.
Like, I had my wife and kids with my two kids, 5 and 3 years old. And my wife does tour logistics and tour management. She kind of helped with some of the tour preparation as well. Carlo was there with his wife and child.
Daughter. It's a daughter he has. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Exactly.
Which I'll never forget.
Who were good friends with my kids. Oh. So it was like this really wonderful family trip. And then, you know, when Larissa came along too, like Larissa and I had known each other through the Old Town School of Folk Music way back when, through other mutual friends, through David, and we had three or four of our other musicians. Some people joined us. Our main thing was that we wanted to also engage artists who were there, wherever we went.
Yeah,
that was a huge premise.
Sure.
I mean, the tour was called Global Peace Tour. So, I mean, I know it's tongue-in-cheek to some degree.
I get it.
But we really meant with sincerity what we wanted to go do. We walked into these situations, met some fabulous people who opened their hearts, opened their doors. I mean, they made things happen so fast, things beyond that what we actually prepared for. But I think, all in all, we learned as much from them as they did from us.
Yeah, I mean,
you were invited to be part of that National Theater.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
In
the
Vietnam.
National Song, Dance, and Theater.
Yes, I am. So we were able to play with instruments that we would have never seen before, all those indigenous instruments and music. And they invited us to perform with them as a concluding piece. That was so amazing. It was a wonderful experience, which is exactly... was one of our intent to involve the indigenous artists.
I have the feeling, too, and you guys are going to explain to me what you're going to play in the last little segment of the show, if you want to play, because I like talking to you, too. I like hearing your music, but I also like talking to you. This trip has obviously inspired you to pursue, if not similar places, certainly similar jaunts. Yeah.
Yeah. In Portugal, I just got a message yesterday from our friend. They'd like to bring us back for some festival shows and to do more work with the Indian immigrant children who were there. They specifically talked to wanted to bring Sarah back and the whole group next year to do some festivals there. So that's already just like as a result of the groundwork. But really what we were trying to do too, and I think we should point this, is just to be ambassadors of Chicago.
Sure.
And I think that was the thing. And so there's a lot of animosity, there's a lot of attention going on right now politically, and I think we wanted to present, it was like my way of responding to that in a positive way. To say, what can we do? I don't agree with what's going on entirely, but how do I not just do a protest or whatever? How do I do something positive?
But it's also putting things in perspective for people who are getting bits and pieces. You know how the news travels. They're getting bits and pieces of information, and all of a sudden, in come you guys smiling and sharing your music and sharing yourselves. It gives perspective to the nonsense.
That became our mantra, I think. When we were in Vietnam, we had said it. It was... because, you know, people would see this array of diversity on the stage.
Yeah.
You know, a guy from Indiana, and a woman from India, right? And, you know, two dudes from Chicago, one guy who's Middle Eastern, another who's Jewish, another who's what? I mean, it was just a myriad of us on the stage. And then throw in the mix all the people we were collaborating with,
sure,
as well.
The people there, yeah.
And one of the things we said on stage, we said, you know, what you see here, this is America.
Yeah.
Not what you see on TV.
That's a great message. That's a great message. That implies peace. We got to take a short commercial break, and then do you want to play or should we talk some more? You don't have to play. If you want to, fine. If David Fink has to carry something someplace, that's fine. That's fine, too. But I really like, I mean, this is a great conversation. Yeah, you want to keep talking? We can keep talking.
Can
you brought all your instruments. Anybody wants to, look, this is it's like a nightclub here, except I can't smoke in here. Anybody who wants to get up and play can get up and play, but we'll be back in a couple minutes. Okay, Carla Bazile, what are we going to hear?
I don't know. I think we're just going to mess around with this Raga Blues from our CD, and you'll get to hear the Veena and the Oud especially first by themselves, because I think it would be cool for the audience to hear that, and then we'll rock it out a little bit. How's that?
Sounds perfect to me. David Fink, what are you going to do? What the hell are
I'm
you going to
sit
do?
Here. I'm just going to watch and enjoy. This was my life for a month.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That was our life for a month.
Huh?
That was our life for a month.
Fun.
All over the world, three
David,
continents.
This literally, in many ways, for you, must have changed your life, too. That was just beautiful playing you three. I'm virtually knocked off this chair.
Yeah, I mean, you travel around the world and you find there's no such thing as a stranger, just people you haven't figured your connection to yet. And, you know, make friends, make connections.
But for you also to watch the interplay between the musicians and the wide variety of audiences.
Right, and collaborators, and how the same song musicians will sound different in different countries with different people joining. We had a song where in Portugal, a woman put Portuguese lyrics to the song, and then in Africa, a singer put African lyrics to the same song, and it just sounded so different. Mm. And it sounded like it was always like that, and that's how it was meant to be.
Did you record while you were on the road?
We
I guess that
something.
Would... Did
we did, and I think I'll have to get together with Larissa and go over some of the material that we have. We probably have... I know you did a lot, right? Yeah, yeah, we should... I'd love to get Larissa in on this for a second, but...
Didn't record like
here. Album. There's a mic, Marie.
Yeah, Larissa.
Larissa just.
Oh,
been
it
shooting.
Was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful trip. I was taking video and photographs. We had a couple dancers as well, yes, in addition to the musicians, and in some places, other dancers joined in. We had a flamenco dancer in Hanoi join us, and the African dancers in Senegal. And one of the great moments, she was so into dancing, she tore off her wig.
That was the best part.
Yeah,
yeah. That was she was so just herself.
So it was very visual as well as the music.
Yeah. And I guess technology makes it relatively a lot easier to record live as opposed to having, you know, carrying tons of equipment. Yeah.
Indeed, indeed. I also want to just take a quick moment to say that that was Larissa Rolley, R-O-L-L-E-Y, who was speaking, who's very modest as well. Everybody on the tour was so modest.
Obviously.
I mean, really, she's got...
you just went on a tour that changed hundreds, if not thousands, of lives, and you're like, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was all right.
Okay. Yeah, it was
one
okay.
One family,
yeah,
you know, they got out of poverty.
Had a good meal. Family. Yeah, yeah.
I want to also acknowledge the other folks that were actually with
sure.
us for most of the ride. Were Greg Nurgard, who was playing bass with us, Bob Garrett, who was performing on percussion with us, Kinra Rivora, who's dancing Indian classical dance with us, Leticia Aravena, who is also doing classical flamenco and Spanish dance. Who else did I?
Well, Masamba Diop.
Masamba Diop, of course. Who
is
Black
Oscar
Panther
winner.
Movie Oscar winner. For
right,
the Black
right,
Panther
right,
soundtrack.
Right, right, right.
And by the way, we'll be playing with Masamba in Michigan and going to the Acorn Theater, thanks to David, doing a lecture in August. And so you could check out my website, carlobasiliguitar.com, sarabiensemble.com.
Acornlive.org. Acornlive.org.
So we should mention that. But Masamba will be
Ben
in.
Will put all this on the website with the links to this. You guys are amazing. You're doing, it's not God's work, it's man's work. Woman's work.
And I want to
thank
Logan Foundation for the Arts. I was able to write a grant with our Surabhi mission, and they supported us with $10,000.
Well,
so
it's not enough. I mean, I think all arts grants should be, you know, massive grants.
Mind you also,
but
like,
everything helps.
We wrote all of these grants before we knew we would get them.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to do the tour no matter what.
Yeah. Wow.
And the way
really?
That many of them work is, you do it, hopefully we'll give you the money. You'll be reimbursed for everything that you've spent money on.
Oh, is that really
on.
The way it sometimes works?
Sometimes works,
yeah. Well, this, I mean, what Larissa's been filming and just, you know, this radio, the next time you go apply for a grant, it'd just be good to show them, like, give them this.
Just listen to Rip Hogan's
show.
Give
them what you're doing.
Yeah.
Make a movie.
Yeah.
We'll have a real documentary film out there. David, will you go again?
I sure would. And I got to say, thank you for being such a supporter of the arts.
Oh,
I think
wait.
Artists in Chicago have no better friend than Rick Hogan.
That's
well,
true. That's, yes. that's true.
So, but I have no money. So that, yeah. Wait, let me win the lottery. I'm dead serious. Let me win one of those big mega games. You will never see a bigger arts contributor. It'd be so simple. I go, what do you play? Where do you want to go? Here. Here's a check.
You don't have to fill out all the forms. Or
no forms. There are no forms.
It's like,
we will meet for a cocktail. I will have a checkbook. I'll meet people for a cocktail. You want to open a theater in where? Three Oaks? Never heard
it's
of
crazy.
It.
It's what's crazy. It's a crazy idea.
What's your favorite band? Oh, it's something. Here's a check. That would be my wish. That would be my wish.
Awesome.
But go to the two websites. They'll be on the website, and you can get. Carla, how many CDs do you have now?
Oh, geez. I did. I think five with Las Guitarras. We have one with Sarabi. I have a couple on my own. Yeah, we're and Ronnie's producing a lot. By the way, you want to mention?
Yes.
Sure. Go ahead. Tell people.
Oh, God.
About your tour.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yes.
Not yet.
No. Oh, not yet. Oh, okay. Okay. You might see Ronnie all over the country.
Really? Don't jinx it, Carlo. Yeah. Don't jinx it.
Carlo. Now, but I will mention my company.
Good.
Sure.
Because
we did produce the CD, Intercultural Music Production. But that's the thing. We each have our own company. Sara has Ensemble of Ragas. Carlo has Mikkel Rack and
Las Guitarras.
And Las Guitarras de España. And we said, you know, let's combine artists unite. You know, the one thing that we can take away from this, and I'll say Carlo was a really great inspiration to a lot of this last year especially, is that if you want things to happen, and I almost cursed on the air, but
yeah, that's okay.
If you want Isht to happen, then you got to make it happen.
Yeah.
You have to just get up and do it, and that's how things will happen.
Well, that's how the radio time. We ran into each other on the street with his beautiful little daughter.
Thank you.
And so what are you doing? I said, we got to do something on the radio, because this is how I learn. I can't... pal around 24 hours a day with David Fink.
Well, you can.
Well, I could. Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't. I was just so intrigued by this, and you've done a remarkable job of, detailing it to people. I bet there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people out there going, man, I'd really like to go on a trip with those guys. I'd really like to go on a trip with those people.
It was fun. David's a fun travel companion. We would get up early in the morning in Vietnam and dance with all those women at 6 in the morning.
I saw David's Facebook page. Ronnie, David, Sara, Larissa, Carlo, thank you.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a couple minutes.